Hey, greetings, fellow makers. Welcome to Prop Live, your weekly prop and costume making Q&A session. I'm Bill, and we are joined today by none only than the one and only Vert Vixen, all the way from Southern California. Alicia, how you doing?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm probably not as warm as you.
I'm super cozy.
Yeah, I have a space heater pointed at my feet right now to try and fight off the cold. Those of you who are uninitiated for some reason, Vert Vixen is this person at vertvixen.com. Alicia makes really amazing costumes and armor and does lots of 3D printing.
Yay!
And if you aren't following her or checking out her stuff already, then you need to get over there right now. Especially, you've been doing lots of Twitch streaming lately.
Yes, all the Twitch streaming.
Especially like late at night when I'm going to sleep.
Well, my creative schedule is actually Tuesdays through Thursdays, 2 to 7, but then I do sporadic ones at like 3 in the morning.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Fantastic. Well, what is it that you're working on right now? Because it looks really cool.
Thank you. I'm working on Garrison from Battle Chasers, Night War. Yes, Battle Chasers.
I'm trying to grab a quick update picture here on your old Facebook page. There we go. I got one. Here we go. So you are 3D printing some armor, and it looks like you're in the midst of doing some assembly and filling in some seams. You want to tell us a little bit about that adventure?
As I'm sure you know well enough, and a lot of your Pop-Tarts know too, sanding, and more sanding, tons of sanding, hundreds of hours of sanding. And then, using some pegs and some holes and sticking some 3D prints together and then filling in some seams with some JB plastic weld epoxy and some Bondo. All day, every day.
Oh, wonderful. Now, you're rocking the old, like I got behind me over here, you got a Ultimaker, don't you?
I do. I have an Ultimaker 2 Plus Extended, and I love it.
That sounds wonderful. Yeah, we have the same exact one, and it's treated us quite well. In fact, at some point, I know I'm going to have to 3D print myself some armor. So I think that'll be the machine that I lean on for that.
Yes, because it gives you like really high, you can get pretty high detail. Mm-hmm. On a, FDM printer. It's pretty shocked.
Yes. Now, if you guys didn't see, I got to grab another picture. Somehow, if you missed it from BlizzCon, if you didn't see Alicia's, where's the photo button, Facebook? You moved it on me. If you didn't see the this Arthas, that's Alicia. And all of that armor was 3D printed. The helmet, everything. And it looks amazing.
Yes.
And, of course, our local core geek did a lot of work on that sword, too, which was stunning.
Dude, that sword would not have been that sword without core geeks. So.
Yeah. Super duper. Super cool. So there you go. If you haven't already, head on over to Facebook, give her page a like, and follow her on Twitch, too, especially to go check out the live streams, because she's gonna need a lot of company with this miles of sanding that she has in her future.
So much sanding.
I'm curious too with the finished. Now I've done some 3D printed props now, but a lot of the stuff I haven't like taken to a convention. How is the Arthas costume holding up? Is it all fairly durable?
It is. It's actually extremely durable, and that was before I ever started doing the peg and hole system that Ninja Moose or Macro Creative suggested to me. So surprisingly, I've dropped pieces, and it's withstood strapping. It's withstood, travel. I haven't flown with it yet because it's so big. I've only driven with it.
Yeah.
But I wrap it all up in some fabric and shove it all in a box together, and it's pretty durable. I've had a couple people run into me at cons, and they have more regret than I do.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of spikes.
There are.
Another quick one, and I'm just curious about for my own research. What percentage of infill do you usually go with on, like, armor parts?
I am printing everything at 10% infill.
Oh, all right. Cool.
Yeah, super. So it's all super light, and it's actually way more durable than I would expect, I won't lie.
Fantastic. Yeah, the Boolean Gemini gun that I have, it's actually all done. I have the last video going up tomorrow. That was between 10% and 20% infill. And I did drop it once and put a big old dent in the side of it.
Really?
Yeah.
What material was it?
It's a PLA. It's the probably the same stuff you're using from Matter Hackers. I think it just landed perfectly on a concrete floor, and the shoulder stock bashed in quite a bit. But I carved it out and then mashed in a bunch of epoxy sculpt and then just cleaned it up. It's fine. You didn't see anything. That's not going to make it in the video.
I did take a hammer to mine the other day. I was trying to hammer a peg in, and I just took a straight plastic hammer to it, and I hit it hard enough that I actually did damage the armor. But I fixed it with epoxy sculpt.
Hooray! I wonder, too, and a part of this, too, is, like, I haven't done a lot of experimenting with settings on a 3D printer. I, like, hit medium and go. How many perimeters do you usually put on the outside, like the wall thickness?
Let me open up Matter Control and tell you right away, because I have that in front of me. I think it's 3 or 4. Yeah. Let me see.
I think maybe I only did like 2 on mine, so maybe that made a difference. I don't know.
Possible. I'm like you, though. Like, I'm because the Ultimaker has been pretty print and go, like, I haven't really had to mess with as many settings as I probably would have on other printers.
I think I'm the same way, too. I'm a little bit spoiled. Like, the Dremel and the Ultimaker are both very good out-of-the-box machines.
Yeah.
And I just, like, hit the default thing and, like, hit medium and just tell it to go.
Oh, I've only actually been printing with 2 perimeters.
Yeah.
So, I guess... Never mind.
I must have dropped my gun perfectly on, like, the weakest spot.
It's possible.
Well, cool. So that's the big thing you're working on right now. Do you have a convention that you're aiming for to wear it at?
Emerald City!
Yeah! Awesome.
Super stoked on that.
That's great. We'll be there, obviously, because we're in Seattle, and that's our big show. We're excited to hang out with you. And the prop darts that show up, we'll probably do a meetup like we did last year, which will be really fun. Probably be on a couple panels. That should be a good time.
Did you get my message about our panel?
Is it an email? I don't know.
Nah, we're on a waiting list.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Well, or we'll have our own panel. We'll just do it in the hallway. I don't care. Let's see. What else do we have here? There was a Warcraft cosplay compilation that many of you saw me in.
The hammer.
My hammer breaking. But Alicia made it into that too here, which is fantastic. So if you guys haven't caught that already, there's Alicia. I'm just showing the video right now. If you guys haven't caught that already, that was really, really fantastic. They had a fantastic video team shooting just really good video. The editing on that was super, super cool. And I'm overjoyed that they went with my outtake instead of my serious pose.
Oh, everybody was like, oh no, his hammer. And I'm like, he's fine, guys. Fine. It comes apart like that.
Yeah. Let's see. What else do we have here before we get started? You were in the Twitch con cosplay contest, which was super cool. Like, you've been all over the place lately. And you were just partnered on Twitch.
Yay!
Twitch Creative. Very, very exciting. Have you started making emotes yet?
I've put my boyfriend or my fiance on that recently. I'm like, hey, I need emotes.
That's good. That'll be really fun. Well, again, once again, guys, go follow Alicia. Go look up Vert Vixen on Twitch and give her a follow. Let's see. One more thing before we get started with the questions. We had a thing go up on Tested. Our friends over at tested.com, they have their premium service or their premium videos, which is like, I think like $40 a year. It's totally worth it. You'll usually get a poster like behind me. I have this Hellboy mecha hand poster. Like, you get that and you get all their premium videos, and that poster by itself is worth the price anyway. They did a painting video with Frank Ippolito and Norm. Painting my robot, Serbatsalot, which our chat named. So if you want to see Frank and Norm build Serbatsalot and you want a bunch more really awesome content, head over to tested.com/premium and subscribe. Like I said, $40, you get an awesome poster and you get a ton of really good extra footage from the Tested crew.
Dude, congrats on that. That's awesome.
It was fun. It's fun to watch other people put together my kits. People were asking if we're going to make more Serbatsalot kits. I don't know. The problem is that I would have to spend time casting kits, and I would probably rather spend that time making new videos and new content. We'll see. Maybe I'll hire someone to throw resin in a mold and sell some of those. We'll see. I don't know. It's a new year. Lots of stuff going on. That's all I have. Is there anything you wanted to cover before we got started in the questions, or should we get into it?
Let's just do it. All right. Thing.
You guys watching live, go to punishprops.com/live to submit your prop and costume making tutorial type questions. If you're building something you want a little help on, or you want to, grill one of us about something we worked on, whatever you got, send it our way. We will be happy to answer it. And I see some 3D printing questions in here, which is good because Alicia's a pro. Door Geek Net says, what advice would you give to someone or would you give to yourself if you could talk to yourself when you first started 3D printing?
So that helmet was a nightmare to put together. That was like the first armor piece. And I did it all in ZBrush because I'm a ZBrush. I love ZBrush. It's my baby. I did not actually really... I'm a game artist, so in games, you can kind of just meshes together.
Right.
You can't do that with 3D printing, right? Like, you have to make sure that everything slots and fits together properly. So I neglected to do that with the helmet in a lot of places. In some places, it's still meshed to, like, the meshes were actually still inside of each other on the ZBrush model.
Yeah.
So when I printed it, it was kind of a nightmare to put that thing together.
Yeah, a lot of times what I've found with if it's just a straight up three-dimensional mesh, like a polygon mesh, if you have two surfaces that are intersecting and you boolean them together like in Maya, just do a rough boolean and say union, join them, and then you go to print it, no problem. It should work okay. But if you leave those separate, the slicing software will often do its own boolean, and a lot of times it'll be an intersection, which means that your two, let's say, spheres look fine, but the space that they both occupy will be hollow, and then it'll try and print it that way, and it's just madness and insanity.
Yep.
So that's another reason why I like working in Fusion 360 for a lot of stuff, is that workflow lends itself to generating what they call bodies instead of just like a three-dimensional mesh. And that body is... By definition, it's watertight. Like, it's good to go. And then you can, they call it combining, but you can boolean parts together willy-nilly, and they'll print just fine.
They do in Mesh Mixer, which is now what I use to prep everything. They call it combine as well. You can combine, you can boolean combine. So that's cool that Autodesk is using the same terminology.
Yeah. Everyone's got their own words for it. Thank you for the question, Door Geek Net, and have fun 3D printing. Let's get another question. This one comes from our buddy Chad from Koss Armor and Props. Chad is a Seattle guy we got to hang out with a while back. He says, Alicia, how did you learn ZBrush? And what is your process for sanding all those 3D printed armor pieces?
Oh my God, process for sanding. So ZBrush, I went to school for video game art and design for like 3 years or whatever. But ironically, ZBrush is a program I learned outside of school. I had to learn it to get a job in the industry. So I was taught through friends and through online tutorials is how I learned ZBrush. I had a minor introduction in school, but really nothing that I would consider, you know, worth my money, sadly. So I learned through friends, through online tutorials, and then on the job. And then the cleaning up process, I'm actually trying a couple different things right now. On Arthas, I found this really cool, neat trick, which I think actually Corgi and I discovered at the same time, was we got to spot putty Bondo, and literally before even sanding the objects, I just coat my whole object in the spot putty Bondo, because you can use your finger and you can just get it in all of the crevices and get a pretty smooth surface and then sand it down, and it limits the amount of filler primer that you use. And then the other thing now that I'm doing is I'm trying more of the traditional method, which now I'm actually sanding down my PLA as best as I can without damaging the detail that I have on it. And then going from there, using the plastic weld to fill in any large seams, then using the spot putty Bondo to fill in the smaller seams, any holes. And then I'm using the Dupli Color filler primer on top of that. And that's like 3 or 4 layers, and it's all sanded in between every layer.
Yeah. I did. I tried something with our pal Joel last time he was over, and he filmed it. I don't think he's put the video up yet. I have this stuff called Feather Fill. It's used for auto body stuff, but think of it like a liquid Bondo. So it's a liquid, and you drip in some catalyst for it, and then you've got 45 minutes until it starts curing. So you can put that in a HVLP spray gun, a spray gun you don't care about, but mind you, because eventually you will brick it. And then you can spray a thin layer of essentially Bondo onto your 3D printed piece. Now, I did some tests with this with Joel. Unfortunately, I ran out of the, so I only got like two good layers on it. But I think if I sprayed like three or four good layers right onto a raw 3D printed piece, it would be kind of like using XTC 3D, but it sands really nicely, it cures a lot faster, and you have more control because you can spray it, which is great. But of course, you have, what was that?
Sorry, what's the detail loss ratio on that?
I didn't get to really test. Like I said, I only had like two good layers on there, so we didn't lose much detail at all. Oh, Joel Telling is in the chat. Why, hello, Joel. He says, sorry,
Hi,
yeah,
Joel.
video isn't up yet. Damn it, Joel! Joel's got a lot of things going on. But I ordered some more because I ran out. I used it all up. But I want to do try and do a test where I take a raw 3D print, hit it with like three or four good layers of that stuff, let it cure, and then sand it. The main reason why I like it is because it sands so well, like so easily. But that's Feather Fill. We'll do more tests. We'll get back to you.
I'd love to hear more about that.
The main thing is you do need an area where you can spray toxic stuff. So this isn't something you would do in your apartment.
Hey.
Thank you, Chad. Good question. Hey, here's our buddy Ninja Moose. He says, what is your preferred method of joining separated 3D printed pieces of the same model? Alicia?
I feel like this is a planted question,
Yeah.
Ninja. So for a very long time, I was just slicing them and then just putting them together and using epoxy on the backside and being like, everything is great. But the sad part about that is PLA and super glue don't always like completely stick together chemically. It'll stay, but there's a high probability of it breaking. I haven't had a problem with Arthas because of all of the epoxy putty JB Weld stuff I put all over it. But now, thanks to Ninja Moose, I use pegs. I put holes in all of my prints, and I put little. I'm actually printing my pegs. You can. He suggested using wooden dowels or metal rods. I just don't. I'm lame, and I don't have any power tools, and and I'm too afraid to cut stuff like that with my Dremel because I don't have a vise. So I'm literally just printing my pegs smaller than my holes, and then I put the pegs in one side, and I make sure that they fit, and then I glue it all together, and it actually works really great.
That's pretty awesome. That was something we were thinking about when we did the helmet for our pal Holly Conrad. Brittany modeled it and we just sliced it up. We didn't put any holes or anything in it. We drilled holes and put metal pegs in. Next time we're gonna model the holes so that they line up perfectly. We'll probably still use like eighth inch steel rod for it, but it's the same thing and it'll work pretty awesome. Yeah, why not model them in, right? That's what they're there
You
for.
got to use what tools you have, right?
Yeah.
So.
Thank you, Ninja Moose. Good question. Let's keep going on here. Let's see. Rocket Man Props wants to know if I am currently working or planning on any more collaboration projects or more original art. I have a list like the length of my arm of original stuff I want to do. I have at least one big one I want to do this year, although there's a lot of the stuff on that list I don't want to like verbally commit to on the internet because then people will expect me to finish it. So I'm not gonna let the cat out of the bag on any of those yet, but I will say I have an equally long list of people I want to do collaborations with, mostly people who are doing lots of YouTube stuff because we've been doing a lot of YouTube video things. One in particular that is definitely happening that we've already started on is with someone, a YouTube person based out of New Zealand, let's just say.
Oh,
That's
wow.
all I'm going to say. Brittany and I just bought tickets to fly to New Zealand to go for a vacation. How about that? We're going to squeeze in a tiny bit of work, but we have a collaboration with someone out of New Zealand. You'll know more about that next month once we get it done. that'll be exciting. But we do. We have a lot more collaboration. We just did one with Jazza, an artist down in Australia, which went amazing. It was really fun. In fact, he's doing the axe that I built. He's making his challenge of the month for people who do drawing. So that was really awesome and fun. And I just mailed that axe out to him yesterday.
Wow.
Yes. So, yes, more collaborations. They're a lot of fun. Thanks, Rocket Man. Let's go back to another 3D printing question from Darth. How long does it take for you to finish your 3D printed armor from start to finish, like the Lich Queen? How, like, roughly, do you keep track of your hours or?
No, I should. I don't.
I was the same way with the Boolean Gemini. I really should have at least kept track of the printing hours, but I didn't keep track of that either. Next time I will.
Yeah, I mean, the great thing about having a printer, and I wish I had more than one, is that you can actually just run your prints while you're doing other things, yeah. Which technically cuts down the time, because your printer, your little robot, is building while you're building. It's great. But, I mean, man, I made Arthas in, like, a month and a half to 2 months, and that was a little hardcore, and last minute and crazy, and wouldn't have been possible without freaking Matter Hackers loaning me 3 or 4 of their printers.
Yeah.
Garrison is probably going to take me about 3 months, and it's a lot less pieces. They're actually simpler pieces, but I'm taking my time on it to make sure that it's like a perfect, you know, as perfect as I can get it. So my guess is probably about 3 months, but if I were to do Arthas again, it would probably take me about 4 months if I actually put the time into it.
Yeah. So there you go. That's a pretty good estimate there. If you can get more than one machine going on something, that helps too. We have the two guys right here, and that's pretty handy. We did a helmet with Barnacles a while back, and we both had the Ultimaker going. So I had mine going, and he had his going, and we each printed half of the helmet, which was pretty awesome.
It's amazing how much like it speeds up your process if you have more than one.
Thank you, Darth. Let's grab this next one here from Karen Corrigan. Let's see. I saw the article on the Nausicaa sword and rifle being wood and PVC with Bondo. Do you think of how you could do it in foam and 3D printing now? Yeah, I did that a while ago. That was like 3 years ago. I didn't have a 3D printer or a laser cutter back then. Have you ever, and she's curious, have you ever thought about redoing old projects now that you have more skills and tools to play with? Every project I've done, I'm like, as soon as I finish my Malcolm Reynolds gun, I'm like, I need to do it again. And you just talked about like doing Arthas again. Is that so? That's pretty common for you. Pretty much every project you finish, you probably want to do again.
Yeah, because it's never right? Like, no matter how much you put into it, the project is never perfect, and you want it to be perfect. So it's like.
I will say it's unlikely I'll do the Nausicaa rifle again. That was a commission, and I'm not super attached to that. But like some Mass Effect stuff, I might want to do again. I did a gun from Battlestar Galactica, the Colonial handgun, and then I saw it, the actual one, at the Sci-Fi Museum, and I looked at it, I was like, ah, damn it, I need to do mine again. So yeah, and if I did it now, I'd probably do at least some 3D printed parts on it. I would definitely do some laser cut parts. Boy, that would make things handy. Even a bandsaw. Like, I didn't have a bandsaw back then. I did everything with a scroll saw. So
I would. At least you had a scroll saw.
I did, yeah. So absolutely, I would do just about every project again if I could. Thank you, Karen. I probably won't, though, because I have lots of other projects I want to do. All right, next question comes from Staple Crop Rice. If you had to pick, what's the tool you absolutely need? The favorite Big Kahuna costume needs to get done in 3 hours. Lifesaver. Bandsaw, probably, for me.
That one's hard.
Yeah.
That one's really hard, because it depends on the project, right?
It really does.
Like, I want to say my printer because I love it so much, but it's not as fast as if I had to be able to get a project out in 24 hours, I probably wouldn't print anything. I'd probably build out of foam. So yep. I guess my Dremel.
Yeah, Dremel's a good pick. Not bad. Good question, Staple Crop Rice. I'm going with bandsaw. I just did a video trying to convince everyone to buy a bandsaw. So go watch that and then go buy a bandsaw. Just saying. Me and Evil Ted. Have you been to Evil Dead's shop yet?
No, but I'm going to be there soon.
Good, good, good.
excited.
Go have fun there. He's got so much cool stuff. Our next question comes from some weirdo named Joel Smelling.
Weirdo.
He says, what's the best way to get good quality on printed areas that require support material? I'm curious, too. Do you use a lot of support material?
I try not to.
Yeah.
when I use supports, I try to make sure that they're on the underside of the piece so that right. the cleanup isn't awful. But sometimes you can't avoid it because you have overhang and it's just needed. But on these knee pieces I'm printing right now that have a lot of arches, actually Ninja and I were talking about it the other day, that like arches really don't need as much support, if any support, while you're printing them in comparison to a 90 degree angle.
Yeah.
So my knees are printing great and they have no supports on them and they've got complete open overhang arches, and so far so good. But
I would tell Joel to print it on his Ultimaker 3 with PVA supports. That's what I would tell him to do.
I hate you and your Ultimaker 3. Do you wanna? Can I borrow that from you? Just get another one.
I don't have one yet. Joel has one. Barnacle's got one. Where's mine? It's cool though with it because it prints the second nozzle will print a PVA and you can just wash it away with water. And apparently that means the areas where the support touches down are not as janky as with other methods. So that's pretty awesome. Thank you, Joel, for the question. Moving on, Matt wants to know, he's thinking of molding a bow riser. I don't know what a bow riser is, but it looks like it will use a lot of silicone. Yes, it will probably make a lot of silicone. Oh, I think that's the part that you hold, the grip. I don't know. He sent a picture. Here we go. I got a picture. I got a visual aid.
Yay.
There we go. Looks like the part you hold. Yeah, it looks like a pretty good amount of silicone to make something that big. All right. Rest of the question. I don't intend to pull more than one or maybe two copies. You know what? Sometimes it depends on what you're trying to make. But like I was watching Harrison on his live stream the other day and he made a trophy out of like a 3D print or something like that. Molded it and cast one copy because the cast copy is going to be really durable. It's going to be all one material. It depends on how much time and money you want to spend on it. But sometimes making a mold to make one or two copies is the right way to do it. Let's see. Do you have any advice for minimizing the amount of silicone I'd need or alternate materials? Yes, you could make a matrix mold. That is, or do a brush-on mold. Even better would be a matrix mold. But yeah, instead of doing a big old box mold, you could brush on a few layers of silicone, and you're in luck because we have videos on our YouTube channel on how to do a brush-on mold, and I even have a video on doing a matrix mold. It's a little more difficult, but it's really, really good if you can make a really nice one. So there you go. Brush on mold. Good to go. Have you done much molding yet, Alicia?
I'm starting to. I just bought a bunch of stuff for cold casting, which I was just watching all of your freaking molding and cold casting videos the other night.
Good, good.
So I'm really stoked on that.
That's amazing, too, because you 3D print something. It comes out exactly the way you wanted it to. You sand it and finish it so that it's perfect. Then you mold it, and you can cast copies, like, suddenly you can make a new copy every 10 or 15 minutes. And then you're like, I'm a wizard!
All the giveaways!
Yeah. That's super duper fun. That, to me, when I started getting into 3D printing, I just assumed I was going to mold almost everything out of it. And I have so far. Just about everything I 3D print gets molded.
I guess because I've only been making big pieces, I haven't. But with a lot of my small stuff, I'm realizing, like, why not cold cast this? It's supposed to be metal, so why not make it look like metal?
It would be a lot of extra time and cost, but you could, like, make a mold of a shoulder piece and then lay in, do a cold cast and lay in fiberglass if you want. Make a really light, thin piece. So many cool things you can do. Usually, in order to justify making a mold, you have to plan on making at least two copies of it, though, because it is a lot more expensive.
I do plan on making more than one sword, so I will be molding and casting the sword.
Good. Thank you for the question, Matt. Next one comes from Tristan. He says, happy late new year. Keep up the great tutorials. In the new year, one of my goals is to start using contact cement on foam projects. Very good. Do you have any experience with LePage contact cement? I don't. Or do you know of any good brands of contact cement available in Canada? That's challenging. I've never tried to buy contact cement in Canada, but maybe see if DAP Weldwood is available up there. That's what we can get down here in the hardware stores. So look around. If anyone in the chat is from Canada and you have a favorite contact cement, share it with us and we will link it in the show notes. But other than that, I just go to Amazon and buy Barge.
Because I was like, Barge.
I'm an American and we have that option, so I just go with it. I can tell you if you're in Europe or the UK, look up Alpha Thixofix. That's a contact cement that you like over there. Next question comes from Corium9. Let's see here. How did everybody's goals go? Every year I usually sit down with our chat and come up with goals from last year. In fact, mine are right here, and he's curious how they went. He says he thinks the only one he managed to finish was to submit his entry to the Mandalorian Mercs. That's a really great goal to have, he said, which went awesome. But he doesn't know what he's going to do this year. Do you have any big goals that you want to accomplish this year, Alicia? Any milestones?
I hit one already, Twitch partner.
All right,
that was a small one. I want to make more videos. And you and I kind of talked about this already, too, and I've started to do some filming stuff. And with my Patreon, I'm hoping that like I can get more support in making more videos because I want to make tutorial, you know, videos on showing everybody what I'm doing. And like we talked about really helping the community grow more and talking more about 3D printing and 3D modeling so people actually understand the process that goes into it. And there's been a ton of amazing videos I've seen so far, and I just want to add to it. So hopefully, which actually I should write. It's a good idea. I should get like a big poster that I can look at every day.
Yeah, I have my goals from last year written down. They're sitting right there. I got to review them. I still haven't done it yet, but they are on my computer. They're on my mirror in my bathroom, and they're in my shop. So I'm constantly reminded. And I did pretty well. I did want to publish 2 books. I only got 1 out. But it did well, so I'm happy. And then, an example, we had 0 Twitch followers last year because we weren't streaming on Twitch. And the goal was to get 5,000. And I don't know how many we have right now. I should probably check.
I feel like more than 5,000.
We can find out right away. How did we do? We are at... I'm playing my own video. Oh, it's not showing it. 4,600. So we just about got there. That's pretty good.
So close.
Pretty good. And then the cool thing, too, is there were a couple of things I had on my goal list that were at 0 and are still at 0. So I'm like, okay, I guess that wasn't a high priority. So going into next year, I'll sort of reevaluate my priorities and make goals that make more sense to what it is I'm trying to accomplish. But overall, I did pretty well. Pretty well. Fitness goals was something I didn't do so well at, so I'm going to try and double down on those.
I feel like that's everybody, though. I'd rather be in my shop building things than at the gym, which is a problem
because
I need to also work out.
I think I went negative, though. I think that was my problem. I will say one of the big goals I had was to save up a good amount of money for a house, and I did beat that goal. So that's a high priority for us this year is to go try and buy a house. So.
Yay.
Good job, Bill, for saving money. All right. Let's see here. That was Corium9. He also wants to know, he's helping out a friend with shipping prop swords. He knows that we have mentioned flat rate shipping as a general tip. Flat rate boxes from the U.S. Postal Service are awesome, but they don't make them sword-sized, unfortunately. They're more like book-sized or like roughly, yay, box normal size. They don't make them sword sized. He's just curious. He has more shipping specific questions. Unfortunately, shipping stuff gets really complicated because like I just shipped an axe to Australia and I had to make a custom sized box for it. There's no flat rate box it would fit in. And then when I went to the U.S. Postal Service website, there was only one shipping option and it was no joke $300. And then when I went to stamps.com and put in the same information, they were like, oh, here's a different option. It's $115, which is still expensive, but it's a lot less than $300. So unfortunately, you're just going to have to kind of figure that out for yourself. Everything you ship, every country you send it to is going to be a different scenario. Make friends with the people at the post office. They can help you out. Good luck, Corium9. Hey, Patch, one of our regulars, he wants to know, how do you resist the urge to buy more and more printers? He has an addiction. You have just the one so far, right?
I do. It's called not having enough money.
Yeah.
That's how I resist the urge. Otherwise, I'd probably have two more FDM and probably an SLA at this point.
Yes. I had, where there was, I was really close. What was it called? Next D1. Oh, nope. Autocorrect. Stop screwing me up, man. There was a printer I saw on Kickstarter that I was very tempted to throw money at. This guy here. So it's a, what kind is it? Liquid jet printer? I'm going to guess like a polyjet printer. It's amazing. And it's really cool. And it can do multi-material. It can print circuit boards. It looks so cool. And it's coming in at like $4,000, which is a lot of money, but it's like most polyjet printers are like $100,000. And I was like this close to buying it, but I would rather wait until the product is like out. I would love to see it like operation. Let other people kind of beta test it before I throw money at it. I'm not in any hurry to get another printer. And besides, I can just go to Joel's house and use all his printers.
I hate you so much.
So that's why I haven't thrown more money at another printer. But I will tell you, I am tempted daily. Which, if you were going to get, if you just had $5,000 right now, which printer would you buy?
I'd probably get myself a Form Labs.
Yeah.
I'd probably get the Form too. I don't even know how much that is. If it leaves me any left over, I'd get another Ultimaker on top of it.
You could probably, for that money, you could probably get a Form 2 and a Prusa I3 Mark 2. Not bad.
No, not at all.
It's a good bargain right there, yeah.
Yeah, right?
There you go. Hey, Patch. The answer is that you resist it by not having any disposable income. By keep reminding yourself that you're trying to buy a house. That's how I do it.
Right. The bills are more important.
Hey, this is cool. Brit is on top of things. There are poster boxes for shipping swords. She says this is what CoreGeek uses. So these are Priority Mail Express medium tubes. They're like a triangular shaped priority mailbox. That's awesome. Thanks, Britt. That is so perfect. So it's like a long triangle. Cool. Britt does most of the serious shipping around here.
That's awesome.
Oh, Britt's also saying that the Twitch chat died. No.
Yeah, I was like, where is everyone?
We're gonna keep going though. Sorry if you guys can't chat along. That's kind of a bummer. It looks like it. I just refreshed the chat and it looks like it's not responding. All right, let's keep rolling. Thank you for that, Britt. Let's grab another one. This is from Albert. What's the best way to make clean cuts in thicker foam sheets when trying to cut out circles for those of us who don't have scroll saws or laser cutters? I'm gonna assume you don't have a bandsaw either. Well, how would you tackle that if you had to cut out, like, if you had a, let's say, an inch thick piece of foam and you had to cut out a circle? How do you think you'd tackle that?
Poorly. I actually, when I was doing Master Nova, which is still sitting in a box, I actually laser cut a bunch of circles for the ponytail. So what ended up with is I ended up with a bunch of laser cut circle templates, which is great. So I have a bunch of different circle sizes. So I use that and I trace a circle right as clean as I can, and then I literally get the sharpest blade I can. Rotate the foam around my blade and try to cut it as clean as I can with the box cutters that extend, you know what I'm talking about, those guys, and then I just Dremel it as clean as I can get it, because I don't also don't have a, you know, a, what are they called, a the sanding crap, I can't even think, the band, the you know what I'm talking
belt
about,
belt sander.
Thank you. That one.
Yeah, that is one of those things. Like, if you do get a bandsaw, suddenly that's a non-issue because it cuts at a perfectly perpendicular edge. And then if you have a disc sander, then if you do goof the bandsaw a little bit, you can clean it up on the disc sander super easy. Otherwise, a sharp knife and a Dremel will get you most of the way there. Good luck with those circles, Albert.
Seriously, good.
Next, in practice too. A lot of the time, just the more practice you get, the better you'll be. Ian wants to know, he's moving from a home where he can use barge and other smellier prop supplies to an apartment building. He wants to keep building. Do you have any advice on how to keep the smells from lingering to other people's homes? You could just not care unless they start complaining. But you probably want to make friends with your neighbors. You may be out of luck, because a lot of times the smell from, ask me how I know this, the smell from toxic stuff can go up through the subfloor and into the space above it, like your house that's above your shop.
How do you know this?
When I was spraying a bunch of toxic stuff with Joel, well, the upstairs just kind of smelled like that. Even though we have a window and a fan and tried to vent as much of that as possible, just enough of the flavor still made it upstairs. A lot of that stuff should be done in an extremely well-ventilated area or outside, unfortunately. So if you're going to be in an apartment building, you may have to just go with a less smelly alternative like hot glue. Yeah.
Sadly, not as good, but works.
It does work, yeah. Well, Dave over at Evil Effects, another guy you ought to be following on Twitch, he does all of his foam stuff with hot glue, and he's a wizard at it. So if you want to see how he does it, he's the guy, and he's made, like, dozens of Mass Effect costumes.
I was about to say wizard.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's a wizard. There's no doubt about it. He has made a pact with the Dark One and has the ultimate skills. But it can be done. He's proven it. Good luck, Ian. And try and make friends with your new neighbors. Next question comes from Team Fett. That question is, he's 3D printing a Soldier 76 rifle from Overwatch. It's about 35 pieces in total. Wow. I would like to make a mold of the rifle. Should I assemble it completely and mold it, or assemble some of it and make molds? What would you do, and what would you suggest for a beginner? That's a good question if you're just getting into mold making. You may want to start small and make several smaller molds and then put them together. A lot of times, just it makes more sense with the profile and how it's cut out. You can make a couple of smaller box molds as opposed to having one giant box mold that's kind of weird shaped that has some negative space that's a little more trickier to pull off. So if, let's say, I was going to mold the Boolean Gemini, I mean, if I was doing it, I would probably make a matrix mold on it, one big matrix mold on it, but I could, the upper receiver I could probably do separately. The magazine is removable, so I could do that separately. Maybe the back stock could be separate, and then the rest of the main body of the gun. So maybe like four molds to put that together. But when we did the District 9 gun, the main giant body part, we made a huge matrix mold out of that. But then there's all these tubes that run down the length of it. So we made one tube, and I cast 24 of them for each gun. So depending on the gun that you're making, sometimes it just makes sense to make a lot of different lot of molds. So for the big,
a lot of tubes.
Yeah, the giant, yeah. We ended up casting five copies of that tube and then making a new mold of those so that we could cast five at a time. And then you only have to cast five of those to get one gun worth of tubes. It's silly. It's a really silly thing. It looks super cool. You can't set it down, though. There's no good way to put it down. So good things to keep in mind if you're going to go mold something. And good luck, Team Fed. If that's your first mold, then, boy, you picked a you picked a really complicated one. All right. Zero Cool Prop says, is Epsilon the best or only coating for creating a hard, durable finish on foam? Have you used Epsilon yet?
I have. I haven't used the new stuff, though. I've only used the old stuff. Yeah, yeah, I haven't used the Pro. I did watch an amazing video by someone named Punish Props where Brittany went through and did a demonstration on all of the different coatings, which was great. Thank you guys for doing that. So Epsilon, the main Epsilon is the only one I've used, and I've had major cracking problems with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't like it very much.
Yeah, it depends on if it's going to flex or not. If that piece is going to flex, then Epsilon is prone to cracking. The Pro version is a little more flexible. But if you want a durable, hard finish on your foam, It can be done. You just have to add a lot of layers. So brush on 3-4 good layers of that Epsilon. Our pal Core Geek keeps coming up because that guy's really into sanding things. He's got a video. He's got a video on using Epsilon, and he's kind of got that process down. So we'll link to that video in the show notes, and you can go check that out. Otherwise, I've only used it for a couple of things, and they've ended up cracking.
Yep.
I'm making a note there. All right, great. Next one comes from Tony, a.k.a. Blue Tongue Devil. Do you have an opinion on the Prusa 3D printer, or what would you suggest for a first printer purchase? Well, your first one was the Ultimaker, right?
Yeah, I got lucky. But I was able to only get that because of the Twitch contest. That's right. The only reason I was able to get that one. And it's great because it's plug and go. Like, yeah. I had to level my bed, and I actually bought the extended kit, so I did have to add the nozzle and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Which, for never touching a printer before, it hurt my head a little bit. but otherwise, it was really easy to use. The problem is that it is an expensive printer. It's not cheap. So, yeah.
I will say, now, I don't have a ton of experience with a lot of different printers. For that, you want to go talk to Joel over at the 3D Printing Nerd. But I will say that the Dremel printer that we got comes in at just under $1,000. And for an entry-level printer that works right out of the box, this thing has been a champ. It has never clogged. We put a lot of hours under this thing, and it works great. It's very reliable. The Prusa printer, I haven't used it yet, but I've heard lots of really good things about it. I've heard even people say that they can get prints out of that thing just about as good as one of the Ultimakers, which is awesome because it's a lot cheaper. So most people I see who know what they're talking about say that's a good one to get started with. Very cool. Prusa sounds good. And I'd like to play with one.
I know, me too. I was actually looking one up right now. I was like, interesting.
Yeah, you can get a kit version for a little bit cheaper and put it together yourself, which I think is kind of cool.
Or scary if you're me.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's cool I would get the one that's already assembled because.
Yep.
But I think that's cool for people who want a cheaper alternative.
Yep. Agreed.
Quick note, too. Brittany says that Twitch support is investigating issues with people connecting to the chat. So it's site-wide, not just us. All right. Thanks, Tony, for the question. Next one comes from Patrick. He says, if money and time were no issue, what would your dream prop or costume be? We get this one every once in a while, and I will send it over to you.
War. Hands down.
Oh,
war.
Yeah.
War from Darksiders, which is my next project.
Oh, you're doing it.
I'm doing it.
Oh, my God.
I'm doing Garrison first, but no, that's one of my goals for this year is to do my dream costume. Now that I have the ability to 3D print, which has been my whole thing of I'm not going to make war until I can digitally sculpt it like they did in Darksiders and then 3D print the armor. So it's as exact as I can make it.
Wow. Do you have a goal for when that's going to be finished?
You know, my goal is for the Twitch contest.
Oh my goodness.
That's my goal. So I've already started Chaos Eater and I've already started some of the other pieces.
That's right.
I'm super excited. I'm going to actually be hand sculpting the belt and making a mold of that and casting that and actually doing like, I don't want to call it the old school way, but the traditional way of, you know, sculpting and casting something. I'm really excited about that. Trying new things.
Fantastic. Well, I'm excited to see you do that. For me, I've always wanted... he's hiding back there, but I have the Tier 2 Judgment figure from World of Warcraft. So I'll do that someday, I'm sure of it.
You do a BlizzCon this year?
Maybe. We'll see. That's another one of those things. As soon as I say I'm going to do it on the internet, everyone's like, hey, when's the costume bill? Is the costume done? Is it done yet? Have you started it yet? I'm like, no.
Yeah, I've made that mistake a couple times. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Patrick. We got a handful more questions here. See how many we can get through. The Digital Armory says, what would your dream 3D printer be? Oh. Well, I will say I just made friends with someone who lives nearby who has a PolyJet printer. That thing is amazing. It's like a $100,000 printer, but it's pretty awesome.
How big does that print at?
The print volume?
Yeah.
It's about yay big. My hands are about 10 or 12 inches apart, cubed. Yeah. It's crazy, like, 'cause it's like the form too, but you don't have to have a vat of liquid resin to print into. So it's a little more hands off, which I think is really cool. And it's fast. It's really,
Ooh.
really cool. But again, it's like a $100,000 machine.
Well,
But it's
that's my
a
answer too.
yeah. It's one of the ones from Stratasys, and it's really designed for like high-end manufacturing, like prototyping and stuff, and they're so cool. There was another one. I know Tested did a video on it. I can't remember what it was called, but there was another similar one. I think it was similar to the Form 2, where it comes out of a vat. And a lot of the print materials that they did, like, it would come out of the printer ready to go for like high heat applications. Like the materials they were able to print with it were really incredible. I can't remember what that was called, but I don't know. There's a lot of 3D printers that I want. They're all really cool.
All of them.
Thank you, The Digital Armory. Toasty Knickers wants to know, what is your favorite way to finish a 3D printed piece to for if you want it to look like shiny metal? So why don't you just tell us how you did your
Arthas.
Arthas costume?
I was like, I've done that, and it's all the sanding. So that's when I use the spot putty thing. So, and actually on that one, I did do a pre-sand on all of my pieces with like a, what did I use? Like a 220 grit, I think. And then I did the Bondo spot putty Bondo all over it. Then I sanded that with the 180 grit, 150 grit, 150, and then layer of filler primer, sanding it once again with the 150. I did like three layers of filler primer, all sanded in between. Then I did a layer of regular primer that was wet sanded with like 400 grit. And then I did a final layer of regular primer over that. And Corgi turned me on to the DupliColor primers, and I
Oh
probably
yeah.
will never not use those again. Lots of sanding. Lots of sanding.
Yeah, if you want something to be shiny, the surface texture makes a huge difference. So for example, I did it was 3D printed originally, raised blaster, but I went and molded it. But the cast pieces then were sanded nice and smooth, and then I hit it with a glossy coat of black lacquer. So you get a really high shine black, and then I hit it with some metal lacquers to make it look like shiny metal. But if any of the texture of the model wasn't that nice smooth finish, then you're not going to get that high shine metallic on it.
So Eric and I both used, instead of the lacquer black, we both just used a high gloss black from DupliColor, which
Yes.
was a spray paint. It worked amazingly as well.
Yep. Very good. There you go, Toasty Knickers. Next one comes from Max Money. How do you go about making a helmet to properly fit your head? That's a really good idea. How'd you do that for your Lich Queen?
I was very fortunate to have a friend over at Naughty Dog that did a scan of me.
Hey.
Very fortunate. So I got he wanted a scan so that he could use me as a model for a cami sculpt he did a while back. So he ended up giving me the head scan that he took from that, and that's been a savior for me because no matter what size the head is in my 3D program, the proportions will always be correct. So I basically shrunk it down in ZBrush so that I could use it properly, like 2% of the actual size it was. And then when I brought it back into Mesh Mixer, I just measured the diameter, or I measured the diameter of my head from there, did math to figure out what the circumference should be, measured the circumference of my own head, and then made sure the circumference matched in Mesh Mixer, and then just scaled the helmet to fit the head properly. So scans.
Scans and math. I will say, if you don't have the luxury of getting a scan done, and if you do, it's worth every penny, I will tell you that. There is a website, if you go to Make Human, it's software you can use to make a 3D model of a human, and you can put in measurements. So you can measure your own head or your own body, put them into the software, and it'll pop out a generic human form 3D model that should be pretty closely scaled to you and your body. So go check that out. We'll put a link, but it's makehuman.org.
I guess if you have 3D knowledge from there, you could take pictures of yourself, right? You could do front, mm-hmm. side, and back, and then you could just make sure to scale the actual mesh. I don't know the ability on MakeHuman, but if you could export that, then you could probably scale the mesh to fit your head better with your images.
Yes. Yes, certainly. There you go, Max Money. Good luck and have fun. Let's grab just a couple more here. Vert was talking. Oh, this is Down in Creative says, Vert was talking about this in a prior stream, and I agree. We need a new term for cosplayer. How do you describe what you do to someone that isn't in the industry? Thoughts? That depends on what I'm talking about. People want to know whether or not I dress up in public in a costume, then I will tell them I'm a cosplayer. But if they ask me what my job is, I tell them that I'm an intergalactic arms dealer.
That's amazing. I love that. I call myself a costume maker and a fabricator at this point. I also add the modeling into there since I do booth work and stuff as well. Mm-hmm. But I do like to make sure that people know that instead of me using the term cosplay, because a lot of time that's related more to hobby and fun, I like to call myself a costume fabricator and a model. So they know that I do both and yeah. that I do it professionally.
Yeah, and it's not even necessarily about being like shoehorned into one category or another. It's really more about being clear about what it is that you have to offer, especially if it's in a professional setting. So if I get invited to a convention and they want to know like how I get listed on the thing, I usually say I'm a prop and costume maker. But I'm going to a convention in a week from now. That's more, it's like science fiction and fantasy authors. I'm like, well, I have two books out. I'm an author too. So if that's the setting, it's like I'm a prop and costume maker and author. So whatever the setting is, whatever your goal is, you can custom fit your title, let's say. But if you're someone who simply has a hobby where they make costumes and wear it out to conventions, then you're a cosplayer and there's nothing wrong with that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. It's just all about coming up with a title for the thing that you do that clearly tells everyone else what it is you're up to.
Yep, clear and to the point.
Let's see. Otherworld Cosplay says, what was one thing you wish you knew when you first began cosplay or prop making? I wish I had bought a bandsaw about 3 years earlier. Just saying. I'm not going to get off this bandsaw thing.
dropping hints. I need to go buy one, apparently.
Yeah.
You know, that's actually a really hard question for me. I don't know. I guess it would be when I first started this, I didn't actually ever think that there was a possibility of doing it professionally at all. And I wish I had that mentality from the start, because I would have hit it harder in the first place. But that's just me, because I'm a very career-oriented person.
Uh-huh.
So that's just me personally.
I probably would have got into doing the tutorial stuff that I do. I mean, I've been doing it for a long time now, but I got started making props and stuff in 2009, and I didn't start a YouTube channel until like 2012. So I kind of wish I would have gotten into that sooner, because the making video tutorials on the internet has become one of the most satisfying parts of what I do. So I would have started that earlier, but that's about it. I'm pretty happy with how it's turned out.
You were one of the reasons I got into this.
Yeah, started awesome.
Watching your videos in like 2013.
good. I'm happy to hear that.
Yay.
Let's see here. Let's grab two more. I think we can do this. Maker Geek says he's making a costume of Mark from G-Force Anime. I have no idea what that is, but I will look it up. He's going for a lightweight foam armor rather than just a plain bodysuit. The helmet has cast green eyes. What material would allow the best diffusion for lighting? Excuse me. That would, let's see here. I'm going to look up a picture so I can hopefully figure this out. But have you've done some stuff with lighting. I know your sword had some really cool lighting on it. Do you have any recommendations for diffusing lights?
Well, all my recommendations are from Eric.
Yeah.
Because honestly, like he did the lighting in the sword. And I've learned a lot from him. And I actually learned a lot with experimenting from Master Nova and failing. but the diffusion is either distance on your lights from your LEDs to your actual plastic that you're diffusing it with. Because the further back it is, the less you're going to see the actual dots. But a lot of times you don't have that space. So, for example, what I'm doing with Garrison's shoulders is instead of me pointing the lights directly out, I am building a little home for them, and I'll be pointing them in on each other and then having everything coated in aluminum tape to force the light to bounce so that you're not getting any direct, you know, small dotted LED lights in there. Eric also likes to use vellum paper. He literally prints the color of the glow that he wants on the vellum paper and then sticks it to the underside of his acrylic, and it works amazingly. It's beautiful.
There you go. That sounds exactly like what I would have said.
Yay.
Cool. That's doing lighting can be kind of challenging there, Maker Geek. So do lots of tests as you're going, especially like the like you were saying before, with the distance if you can, before you glue everything together. Last one. Hey Patch wants to know, how do you go about making your books? There's a lot to it.
The mama book and the daddy book gets together.
Yeah,
and creates
yeah. Surprised your parents haven't gone over this with you yet. Just in general, I start with an outline. Like, I outline all the chapters, and then I start fleshing out all the chapters, and then I start writing them chapter by chapter. And then as I go writing, I decide all the photos I need to take, because photos are a huge part of what I do in my books. So, and then I take all of those, and I have a huge list of photos to take. Like, my last book, I took over 700 photos for it, and that got pared down to 500. And then I finish writing the book, and then I have it edited, and then I rewrite parts, and then and then it's done. That's, yep. In general, that's how it goes.
A lot of photos.
It's a lot of photos. It's basically a glorified picture book. And then a question for Alicia. Have you ever used one of those 3D printing pens? Hey, Patch just got one, and he's not sure what he will use it for. What do you think about little 3D printing pens?
So I have not personally, but Matter Hackers showed me something really cool where they actually used the pens. They used the same material that their print was made out of in the pen, and they used it to fill in their seams on the backside. And they said because it's the same material bonding to the same material, it actually sticks really, really well. And I haven't tried it personally, they were showing me, and it looks like it's a potential great use for the pens. So that would be my suggestion with it. I have no idea what else you would use it for. Maybe some cool, like, little filigree on top of, like, Horbla.
It could be, yeah. I got to play with one, actually, when I was at Matter Hackers. I got to play with one a bunch. And I think that maybe if I practice with it a lot, I could get it to do what I wanted to do. But in general, they're kind of a wild card. Very organic. It would be hard for me to find a reason to use that to make a space gun. So.
Just, like, swirl it.
Yeah, you can do a lot of, like, ice cream-shaped things if you want. But in general, I found a hard reason to use one practically in most of the work that I do. That's it. We made it through all the questions.
Yay!
Thanks for hanging out with us today, guys. Hopefully you're still there. The chat isn't going anymore, which is a bummer because I miss you guys. But hopefully you kept listening. Alicia, thanks so much for hanging out with us tonight.
Thank you for having me. This is super, super amazing and awesome.
This was a lot of fun. This was overdue as well. Those of you at home, if you haven't gone to vertvixen.com and check out what Alicia's been working on, then you should do that right now or directly after listening to this episode. Go follow her on all the things, especially Twitch, aww, to see what's going on with the new armor piece. And I, for one, can't wait to hang out with you at Emerald City Comic Con.
I am excited. Sanding party?
Sanding party, yeah. Yes, indeed. All right. Thanks again, everyone, and we'll see you all next week on another exciting edition of Prop Live. Bye, everybody. Bye, guys.